Hello and welcome along to the Squawker Talker podcast for game week 3 of the 2022-23 Premier League season. And despite a packed schedule once again this weekend, all eyes will be focused on Old Trafford come Monday night. The battle of all battles in English football, with plenty at stake for both sides. Manchester United and Liverpool, the fixture of the Premier League calendar. And just to add in an extra little bit of spice, there are a string of records just waiting to be broken at the perfect point where both sides are in their worst form of 2022. United's worst start to a Premier League season since 1992, and winless Liverpool already trailing defending champion City by 4 points. So it's all set up for a big one in Manchester in the final fixture of the expanded weekend schedule. Plenty to discuss on this week's talker. My name's Fergal Brennan, and we've got representatives from both camps on today's show. Squawker's chief football writer, Mohamed Butt, making the case for Erik ten Hag, Mo. Kind of, at least.
I mean, I don't know how much. I mean, look, it's not ten Hag's fault. Poor guy. I mean, you know, it's like sticking a guy in the middle of the Colorado Rapids in a little rubber dinghy and giving him a little one of those kid little paddles, plastic toys from McDonald's, and saying, go on, mate, get us out of the river. So, I mean, I don't know. Let's see.
That could be a more than apt description come Monday night. Alongside Mo, we also have senior football writer for Reach, Josh Williams, or perhaps better known as At Distance Covered on Twitter. Not overconfident, Josh, but confident. Would that be right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think Liverpool have had a bit of a tricky start, but this is a nice game to go into, I suppose. There's no excuse really to be offered, so yeah, feeling good.
Very humble of you, Josh. If you're watching this on video, you can just see Josh doing his best to be as humble as he can about it. Before we get stuck into predictions and some of the stats-based talk that we're going to have around the game, just a couple of looks in terms of lineups that we could be facing. Manchester United have been linked with, well, everybody that they could possibly sign during the transfer window. We're going to focus on that on next week's podcast, but as it stands, we don't expect any new faces through the door for either team before this game. No Anthony Martial through injury, Brandon Williams and Victor Lindelof also expected to be out. And then as for Liverpool, there could be up to 10 players missing through a mix of injury and suspension. Darwin Nunez is banned for 3 games after his altercation with Joachim Andersen. Thiago Alcantara, Diogo Jota, Curtis Jones and potentially Roberto Firmino are all out, but Joel Matip should be back in the reckoning for Jurgen Klopp. Right, we're going to get stuck into it. And Mo, we're going to go to you first because we're talking records. This is the most historical fixture in English football. Liverpool fans know that, Manchester United fans know that, but this is different this season. United have been dreadful. We mentioned in the intro, worst start to a season since 1992, back-to-back defeats. Brentford was bad last weekend, worse than Brighton on the opening weekend. Just put it into context for us, how bad have United been? Because Manchester United fans will be looking towards this game on Monday night and thinking, it's Liverpool at Old Trafford. Based on what happened last season, if something similar happens again, it could be carnage at Old Trafford.
Yeah, carnage is putting it lightly, mate. This is potentially very, very ugly. I know Liverpool have had their own troubles, but they've shown more than... And there's no Darwin Nunez, but they showed last season they're more than capable of destroying Man United without Darwin Nunez. So, you know, look, it's... United have been terrible because Erik ten Hag is trying to teach them very, very complicated things, very difficult tactical instructions. What they're trying to do is very hard, right? Jurgen Klopp trying to institute similar things at Liverpool, finished 8th in his first season. Pep trying to do similar things at City with a bigger budget, finished 3rd in his first season. You know, and Pep, by the way, walked into a club where they had set the whole club up for him as a replica of Barcelona anyway. So that's why he was able to do better, faster than Klopp. And also he's a better coach. But, you know, these are the two best coaches in the world. In the world. Right? Klopp 8th, Pep 3rd, right? Mm. And that's with perfect... Pep had perfect, basically, perfect surroundings. Klopp didn't have perfect surroundings. Had to fight and build the club. But, you know, Ten Hag is not as good as those two coaches, right? I don't even think he now is as good as they were then, right? So, you can't give this... Like, I joked about it. They literally have put him in the middle of a giant giant Colorado Rapids, the fast streaming river, and give it in a rubber dinghy and giving him a little titchy little plastic paddle and say, go and get out of there. You know, you can't put a man in this situation and not get him the players he needs to play the kind of football he needs, right? What's the point of even hiring him? Why would you not hire someone more pragmatic? You know, I don't know who, Allegri, Pochettino, whoever. Someone who can just do with whatever, Big Sam, honestly, just someone who can do whatever with whatever players you give him, right? Why would you go to the trouble of hiring someone like Erik ten Hag, right? And then not supply him with the players he needs. Now, okay, fine. He's obsessed with getting Frankie de Jong at defensive midfield, but then a competent club would have said, okay, Frankie's your profile, and they would have gone to their scouts, the analytic department or whatever, and drawn up a list of players who resemble Frankie, could replicate Frankie, and, you know, go in behind him. But, you know, they didn't do that. United haven't given him the players he needs, and now he's going to bring it to Liverpool. And Liverpool, I know they've been really poor to start the season, but they're Liverpool, and they've been poor in a way where you can tell they're building up to slapping someone. They're drawing their hand back slowly, 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 Fulham avoided it. Palace avoided it. Someone's going to get that hand going right in their face. I mean, it looks like it's going to be United, honestly.
Josh, would you follow along with that? Back-to-back draws from the first two games, Fulham on the opening weekend, and then Crystal Palace at Anfield last time out. Liverpool have not been at their best, far from it. Obviously, no Darwin Nunez for this one based on his suspension, and there is a stack of injuries. Jurgen Klopp has been frustrated, but Liverpool, the quality that they've got, we've seen it over the last 3, 4, 5 seasons, is far greater than Manchester United. It hasn't been ideal, but do you think they are just, as Mo said, winding up a slap or, you know, dragging the racing car back, ready to just let it go?
Yeah, I think Liverpool haven't been as bad as many people have been suggesting, but Liverpool haven't been to their usual level, maybe. Still top of the Premier League for shots, still top of the Premier League for expected goals, and generally we've probably done enough in both games to win. But we've been shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit by just giving away penalties, conceding red cards, conceding the first goal. So it's been a bit of an uphill battle. Second game, Liverpool have to cope with a number of injuries. And, you know, Mo's just been speaking there about certain players not being suited to Ten Hag's game. Liverpool had Nat Phillips in for the second game, and he generally did okay. But just one player like that can kind of derail everything, really, that you're trying to do if your tactical demands are so high. And Nat Phillips, admirable player, you know, honest player, but he's not particularly quick, not particularly capable on the ball, really. And Crystal Palace's opening goal stems from Zaha getting him right behind him and exploiting him, really. So things can fall down, and Liverpool are looking like they're going to have one or two back for United, but maybe you could suggest that Liverpool aren't as free-flowing or strong as they were when he last visited Old Trafford.
I tell you what I like, though, about that Palace goal. Because, yeah, obviously, Phillips was clearly at fault, right? You have to judge what he's going to do better and everything. But Klopp, after the match, said, no, it's Fabinho's fault. Fabinho should have stopped Eze. And it was like, Klopp did not put any... This is why I love Klopp. Didn't put any blame on the kid, right? Because Phillips, it was his fault. He should have dealt with that better. And didn't have the capability to handle it, to turn Rami Zaha, whatever. But I love it. He just goes, no. Fabinho had Eze. They should have stopped Eze over there. I mean, that's also true. But it was like, that's not the main reason the goal happened. Do you know what I mean? And I love that. Didn't blame Alisson. Didn't blame Van Dijk for getting across. It was just like, no, we should have trapped him. We hadn't trapped over there tactically. I love Klopp. I just think Liverpool, if you look at them, like you said, top XG, top shots, they're still getting their chances. They're not necessarily at their best, right? But you can see the constituent parts are sort of building to something. Salah is sort of getting closer and closer to actually being the Salah we know. I mean, he was still great opening weekend, but you know what I mean? Like, he's not at it right now, but you can see the bits. Trent made a run. I'll tell you, this is what really scares me. Trent made a run in the second half, or first half against Palace, I can't remember, second half, where he ran in, Salah backheeled it, and it rolled to Trent, and he whiffed the shot completely, and it went wide, and everyone had a good laugh about it. But the fact that Trent's making that kind of run into the box and Salah is able to find him so easily, that should terrify people, because Trent obviously doesn't really score a lot of goals, right? He hasn't historically. He's been a creator. But if he's now developing this ability to get into the box and start threatening to score goals, that should terrify people. And especially people like Man United, who can struggle with late runners. You know, that to me is like, oh, God. And then you look at Diaz, and we'll get to him later, but Yeah, I just think Liverpool are building slowly to something, whereas United right now look like they're just, you know, drowning in a river, desperately trying to cling to something to stop from going under.
We're going to touch on Salah and Diaz and their start of the season a bit later on, and Josh is going to give us his take on whether it could be a record-breaking night for Salah. But Mo, I want to ask you about Ten Hag, because he's the big storyline for Manchester United going into this. And in terms of a new man at United against Liverpool, it hasn't gone particularly well. Going all the way back to Sir Alex Ferguson, he lost his first game against Liverpool 2-1 all the way back in 1986. He drew his first Old Trafford game later that season, but had to wait for a first win over United's oldest enemy. And then fast forwarding to the David Moyes era, Moyes lost home and away, including a 3-0 defeat at Old Trafford. Louis van Gaal, bizarrely, has probably got the best record. He won home and away in his first season against Liverpool and picked up 10 points from 4 Premier League games. Jose Mourinho drew his first but won his first Old Trafford, but then he was sacked after losing at Anfield in 2018. And then Ole Gunnar Solskjaer drew his first but failed to win in 6 Premier League games against Liverpool. Ralf Rangnick, the less said about that, better. The less said about that, the better for Manchester United fans. He was in charge for the 5-0 whooping last season. Erik ten Hag is the 5th Manchester United manager that Jurgen Klopp has faced. Klopp has no issue with all these managers changing at Manchester United and says he's probably delighted about it because it's just a new toy for him to play with. Given the gravitas of this fixture, United managers, including Sir Alex Ferguson, have struggled. Van Gaal, as I mentioned, has got that strange asterisk next to his name. This, the history of this fixture has weighed heavy on United managers' shoulders, and at a point where they're so bad, that's another issue that Erik ten Hag doesn't want to be dealing with.
No, it's a big problem. And if you look at Van Gaal, the reason he has the asterisk, there's two reasons. One is, obviously, he played a sort of risk-averse kind of football that maybe confounded Liverpool a bit. But more to the point, Liverpool were just terrible that year. They were coming off their title challenge and they'd just lost Luis Suarez, and their team didn't really know how to position themselves or what they were doing with themselves. And so they weren't very good that first year. We had the famous Juanfield moment at Anfield. You know, we had Gerrard's moment of madness. I'm pretty sure that was a Van Gaal game. So, you know, he benefited from Liverpool having a bit of a down period. Everyone else, you know, more or less, yeah. Mourinho did well. I thought Mourinho handled it well. But then again, Mourinho had Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and that's kind of a cheat code for big games, isn't it? Really, let's be honest. So, yeah, it's a difficult fixture. It's a huge fixture. Fergie would always go on about how Anfield is the one place that he didn't like to play. It was always the one place he felt his teams got intimidated. Gary Neville's gone on about it. Rio Ferdinand, you know, they all know, right? Like, United winning at Anfield was rare. It was a rare thing, and it's a huge game. Solskjaer, I know he didn't win that many, but he did handle Liverpool quite well, really, in terms of, I mean, like, you know, they were the only team to stop Liverpool winning in the first, what, 27 games of 1920? Like, literally everyone else just got beat. They actually held Liverpool to a draw and, you know, would have won the game were it not for good old Adam Lallana, right? So they would, you know, United, obviously, had the, you know, they should have won that game, frankly. So you look at what made Solskjaer able to handle it, because I don't think Van Gaal's a useful comparison, because Liverpool are good now. They weren't good then. And United aren't the same. But what Solskjaer is a great comparison. What made Solskjaer good against Liverpool, right? What made him able to handle and withstand the barrage of Liverpool was that he played very pragmatically. He put like men behind the ball, played a 3-5-2, had Rashford and Dan James up front, running into the half spaces behind Liverpool's fullbacks, right? Just sprinting there every time United had the ball. And then he played a very destructive, very, very patient, very sort of calm midfield. And it worked. It stifled Liverpool, prevented them from going into spaces. And then they broke brilliantly, Rashford. And, you know, they combined for that goal, didn't they, against Liverpool in the game at Old Trafford. And that's how they did it, right? Ten Hag isn't going to play that way. You know, frankly, you can't even play that way. Now you've got Cristiano Ronaldo in the team. So forget that. I mean, that's part of what did for Solskjaer in the end, was the fact that Ronaldo came along and couldn't even, you know, United couldn't play that way anymore, couldn't play on the break anymore, and Solskjaer didn't have another string to his bow. He only had one string to his bow, and that was sit deep and hit on the break. And once he couldn't play that tune because of Ronaldo, he was done for, and it took longer than maybe expected, but yeah. And then, you know, you look at Ten Hag, what they're going to have to commit wholeheartedly to Ten Hag's style of football. They're going to have to just come out like maniacs and press Liverpool the whole game. They've got to do it. They can't halfway house it. They don't have the squad to do halfway house it. And more importantly, Ten Hag isn't that kind of manager. Whether they put Martinez in midfield or in defence, like there are people in mooting, there's no Darwin Nunez. I think you put Martinez in defence. you got to hammer them. You got to go at Liverpool. It's a big thing that the daunting size of this fixture, but it doesn't have to be. Liverpool, you have to play Liverpool as they are right now. They're a good team who can kill you at the back, but also they're leaving themselves vulnerable in defence. Now, I know Joel Matip might be back, but even so, Van Dijk hasn't looked invincible as he usually does. Robertson and Trent always will leave your spaces. Robertson maybe less so, but Trent will always leave your spaces. Joel Matip, if he comes back, not going to be 100% fit. If it's Nat Phillips, he's definitely not fit. Joe Gomez could be different, but again, when was the last time Joe Gomez even played a competitive game? I can't remember. So you're looking, there's a chance for United to get at Liverpool's defence, right? And then I'm not saying, you know, they will, but you have to try. Ten Hag has to think, okay, the only way I'm going to live in this game is if I go for Liverpool. If I try and sit back and cautiously, you're going to get eaten alive. You know, there's no way, because United don't have the players to do that. They don't have the manager to do that. It won't work, right? Ten Hag believes in attacking and pressing. Convince the players of that. Go for it. Play James Garner in midfield, for God's sake. No more McTominay and no Eriksen at the base of midfield. Garner and Eriksen, or Garner and Fred in midfield, just please. And just go for it. It might not work. It probably won't work, spoiler alert. But you got to try if you're Ten Hag. You got to live and die by your principles. As soon as the second you compromise your principles, he's done for as your United manager. If he can't stand by his principles and say, this is why you hired me, this is how we're playing football, what does it matter? Do you remember when Bravo kept chucking balls in the back of the net for Man City when Pep Guardiola's first season? Pep was like, no, I'm not putting Joe Hart in, or I'm not buying back. You know, Bravo is my guy, because that's the style of play you commit to. That's the every time Liverpool got done, their high line got done last season, did Klopp ever go, no, we're going to stop now? Klopp was like, no, this is how we play. We'll get caught, but this is how we play. And eventually, look at Liverpool, how well they played with that high line. You have to stick with the style. Ten Hag has to stick. That's his only hope in this game. Otherwise, he's going to get absolutely filleted. He might still get filleted, but if you go down swinging with your own style, at least, you know, you have something to fall back on. You have something to stand by.
Looking at this from Liverpool's perspective, Josh, the fixture does hold a huge amount of history tied up within it. Overall record going all the way back. United do have the edge, 81 wins, Liverpool 70 wins and 58 draws. That's obviously across decades and decades and decades of games between Liverpool and Manchester United. But in the here and the now, and Mo makes a really good point there, that you face the team that is in front of you. You face Manchester United in 2022 and you face Liverpool in 2022. And Liverpool's record against United of late has been brilliant. Unbeaten at United in their last four games. 10 goals scored. 10 goals in total scored in the last three, just against Manchester United at Anfield and at Old Trafford. And when Liverpool go to Old Trafford, particularly in recent seasons and under Jurgen Klopp, they win big. Since 2004, they've won four Premier League games there with three or more goals scored each time. So generally speaking, when they go to Old Trafford, that possible fear factor or that psychological barrier has not only been jumped over, it's been smashed. Liverpool are in a position where they could break five again. They did that last season, and that was the first time they did that since 1936. Yes, it's been a sticky start to the season, but there is no danger of Liverpool going to Old Trafford, being overawed by this current Manchester United team, and they can sense a bit of history here.
Yeah, well, there's something about Old Trafford. I don't know if it's just you know, my personal bias or whatever, but it's always felt like a massive pitch, and I think generally it's favoured the better players, basically. And historically, growing up and things, Liverpool have never had technical players, really. We've always had committed, hard-working players, but the technically gifted ones, not so much. The ones who were really rapid in behind, apart from the odd striker like Michael Owen or Fernando Torres, we haven't really had those either, so I think just gradually Liverpool have got more technical, more capable. And it's got to a point where United have maybe gone in the opposite direction. And Liverpool are now just a bit more suited to dominating proceedings when we're on that big pitch at Old Trafford. Looking at the dynamics of the game and how each team is looking in a tactical sense, I see major problems for United, I'll be honest. I think I'm not sure what Ten Hag does here. And don't get me wrong, I think last season I haven't followed him too much. I don't specifically know how he did set up against, you know, top opponents when he was at Ajax. But I think either way here, he's kind of destined to struggle almost. Because if he does decide to go for it, if you like, and try and press Liverpool high up the field and things, Liverpool just have ways around that. Trent Alexander-Arnold will just go long. Van Dijk will just hit a crossfield diagonal to Salah, who will then engage in a 1v1 against Luke Shaw or Malencia or whoever it is. You know, Mikel Arteta spoke up about Van Dijk's long diagonal passes being almost a cheat code when you're trying to press Liverpool high up the field. And then when it comes to United building from the back themselves, they've got a goalkeeper who just cannot do it. And Liverpool are going to press United high. If United want to go long to get out, maybe, you know, you've got the likes of Van Dijk, who's going to deal with those aerial balls. Fabinho's a fair height. Joe Gomez is good in the air. So, for large periods, I'm not really sure how United escaped their own half, really. Don't want to come across too confident here, but I think tactically, it is a bad matchup for United, this.
Yeah, until United can get the players they need to play their kind of football, I mean, specifically a passing goalkeeper, like you say, it's going to become a big problem for them, right? Because you have to be able to build out your back confidently. This game has come really early for United. Even if United had started the first two games of the season well, I would still say this game is coming a bit too early for Ten Hag, right? Because you have to have your systems in place. Liverpool, like he says, they're going to come. Liverpool are going to come flying at United. And it's going to be, you know, the pressure is going to be hard and you have to be able to stand up to that pressure. And De Gea can't stand up to any pressure. He's a rubbish goalkeeper in every aspect of goalkeeping except for saves. He's amazing at diving saves. He's amazing. With his feet too, he's great at those. Everything else, coming off his line, dominating, collecting crosses, organising his defence, kicking the ball, he's rubbish. He's below average at best, right? So he's a big, big weakness. And I've been saying this for years. And United fans were like, no, he's amazing. Because he makes great saves, right? And he does. And that's headline grabbing. But like, you compare him to Alisson. And Alisson isn't even the best goalkeeper in the world, even the top five goalkeepers in the world with his feet, right? But you compare him to Alisson, he's not even close. They look like they're playing different sports. You look at Alisson, the way he just, boom, just launches easy passes, comes off his line with confidence, comes and collects crosses, right? A five-line centre-back shouldn't be a problem if your goalkeeper is coming off his line to collect crosses, by the way. That's the thing. Liverpool could play Martinez at centre-back. They wouldn't have a problem. I mean, Van Dijk has to play on the right, but they wouldn't have an issue, right? Because Alisson comes off his line to collect crosses. You know, United have to play him there. It's an issue because De Gea, like the goal against Old Trafford against Brentford, the Ben Mee goal, right? If you look at, yeah, Martinez gets dominated at the back post, but what's De Gea doing on the goal? He's running wind sprints on the goal line. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, this is, United have fundamentally got so many weaknesses. And this is what I'm saying about Ten Hag. I said it in preseason. I said it in the summer podcast. I said, if United don't back Ten Hag, he's going to Frank de Boer himself. This will be another Frank de Boer at Crystal Palace, where it was just a disaster, unremittingly, one of the worst Premier League tenures ever. Because Ten Hag is asking, as I said, he's asking United players to do very complicated things, and they don't have the players to do them. No goalkeeper, no defensive midfielder, no striker, no right back. None of those positions, all the key positions they needed to reinforce this summer have been reinforced. So, you know, they're asking him to, I mean, centre-back good, left-back good, central midfielder good, but none of those were real priorities. Do you know what I mean? So it's like Josh says, it's a bad matchup anyway. Even if United were playing well, it's a bad matchup. And now that they're not playing well, I mean, again, anything can happen in football, right? Like, you know, Fulham drew Liverpool, for God's sake. Anything can happen in football, right? But if you're looking at it on paper, hey, it doesn't look good, does it? Like, there's no way you look at where you look at it and think, oh yeah, that's I can see that, because Sancho isn't playing well now. If Martial was fit, maybe, but like, where's the Ronaldo doesn't even have a great record against Liverpool. You can't even look at him and say he's going to come up good and save the day somehow, because even he doesn't have a great record against Liverpool. So like, where's it coming from? I don't know.
Mo, I just want to ask you about discipline in all of this. I'm going to ask Josh about Salah and the potential for a bit of history for him in this game. But Manchester United have got a bad record for yellow cards in this game. Just looking at the game last season where they got beat 5-0, Paul Pogba sent off, and scattered through the rest of the team, he got 6 yellow cards. Going into this one, Harry Maguire, Scott McTominay, both booked in United's first two Premier League games this season. No Manchester United player has ever been carded in each of their first three Premier League games in a single campaign. Harry Maguire cut a frustrated figure, shall we say, at Brentford last time out. Scott McTominay, the style of player that he is, we know that he likes to put a kind of tone-setting tackle in, which could be a foul, could be an early booking. If United start to rack up bookings against the Liverpool side that have blood in their nostrils, this could be another issue that Ten Hag has to deal with. Are you concerned that, particularly with experienced players like Maguire, if the discipline starts to slip, we could see card after card after card?
I mean, yes, because the United side lacks leadership in general, and they're very demoralised right now. But, I mean, Maguire is going to get booked just off stylistic issues alone, right? Because Luis Diaz, again, not to spoil it too much, but Luis Diaz is going to run at him, right? Because Luis Diaz is going to get away from Diogo Dalo. United had one of the best defensive right-backs in the world and then in their squad, and then alienated him, didn't play him, knocked his confidence, criticised him, and let him basically deteriorate to the point where now he's basically useless. Like, whereas if they'd been supportive of him and playing him even semi-regularly, you could now bring him in and say, hey, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, can you please mark Luis Diaz out of the game? And he could do it. He's done it to Mbappe. He's done it to Neymar. He's done it to better players than Luis Diaz, frankly. He could do it to Luis Diaz. But you haven't been doing that. So now Luis Diaz gets to run at Diogo Dalot and Harry Maguire. Well done, Man United. You're fantastic. Look, this is going to be brutal, right? Maguire's getting booked 110%. Diogo Dalot's probably going to catch a yellow as well. You know, because Diaz is literally liquid. I mean, do you see his goal against Palace? That's ridiculous, right? But you can't, but you know, you do that, try to do that, Maguire's going to hack you down because he is. You know, whoever plays up front, Fabio Carvalho even, someone's going to turn Maguire at some point. He's going to grab their shirt and yank him down, right? And that's not even a discipline issue. That's just stylistic, right? That happens usually in big games like this. Yeah, Maguire's going to make some history. First player to get yellow carded three times in a row. McTominay, I mean, if he sees the pitch, God, I hope he doesn't see the pitch. But if he does see the pitch, yeah, he'll get booked too because that's just what McTominay does. Bruno will probably get booked. So yeah, it could be a record for bookings. Like if I look at that United team, Martinez, my goodness, that guy loves a booking. The only players who won't get booked, I would say for sure, are Cristiano Ronaldo because he won't do anything. Oh, you know, he'll probably put in a petulant kick. He might get booked. Rashford probably won't get booked because he's a nice guy. And De Gea may or may not get booked. Depends on how much he wants to time waste. If he can keep it 0-0 for a while, he'll start time waste and get booked for that. So I'm going to say rough estimate, 8 of the 11 are going to get booked. That's my prediction. Maybe no, 9 of the 11 are going to get booked. Only Rashford and De Gea won't get booked.
Okay. And Marcus Rashford, I think we can all agree on, is the nice guy in Manchester United's ranks. I'm going to move on to Mo Salah, Josh, because this fixture in the last couple of seasons has been dominated by the Egyptian. Juan Field was the cry back in the day, but now it is Mo Trafford. He's been absolutely brilliant against United in Manchester and in Liverpool. He loves playing against United for Liverpool. 7 goals in his last 5 Premier League games against them, 9 in all competitions. They're his joint favourite opponent to play against alongside West Ham. But less than ideal start to the campaign for him, mirrored by the rest of the Liverpool team. He got himself a hat-trick last season at Old Trafford. That's 5 goals in his last 2 against United as it stands in the Premier League. We're pushing for history in this fixture in terms of scoreline, and Mo thinks in terms of bookings. Salah has this opportunity for another chapter of personal history. Alan Shearer's got the record for Premier League goals against United with 10. Salah could match that with 1 against Manchester United, becoming the first Liverpool player to hit double figures against them. But he could go on and beat Shearer's record in this game. If Salah's on song, this could be history for him again and again against United.
It could be, yeah. And I think Roberto Firmino is the way this, that he's going to be okay. So that just kind of benefits Salah and Diaz in comparison to Nunes up front. Salah was playing a bit more of a wider role with Nunes up top. Diaz was doing the same. So with Firmino and the team, they both just kind of come in with a little bit more. So you could suggest there that maybe Salah is a bit more inclined to get a goal with Firmino as his partner up front. And I think if you look at, again, just kind of the tactical makeup of the fixture, I think Salah is generally just really well suited to playing United, particularly at Old Trafford, you know, as particularly as well against a pressing team like United at the minute. You know, as I said earlier, Salah's the target often for when Liverpool escape from their own defensive third and make that one pass straight to the final third. He's usually the target of those passes. And when he's able to engage in those 1v1s, he's just quicker than most of his opponents. He's better 1v1 than most of his opponents. When it comes to threatening him behind, he's a massive threat, obviously, we all know that. And Man United have a goalkeeper who doesn't come off his line. So in terms of through balls and engaging on that space and behind, again, massive threat. You could argue maybe Lisandro is better suited to coping with Mo compared to Harry Maguire the past couple of years.
Yeah, that's Lisandro what I would have said, yeah. That's the one thing that maybe little tiny glimmer of hope for United is.
Yeah, I think Lisandro is a little bit quicker and traditionally Salah. I mean, I was going to say he doesn't do particularly well when he's up against really, really intense, aggressive defenders, but sometimes he does. But there's been one or two games against United where he's had a man literally up his backside for the whole game. Like, I think maybe Ashley Young do a job on him a few years ago?
Yeah, that's literally what I was about to say. The one time that he used to look rubbish against United. That was the weird thing. He would kill everyone except United because Ashley Young or whoever it was would just constantly get really tight to him, get really aggressive in his face, and it would put him off. And then there was the FA Cup game, I think at the start of 2020 or 2021. He scored twice. It was a losing game. The Bruno Fernandes scored the free kick later on to win. But I was very concerned by that because I was thinking, oh, he's just scored against United finally. Oh no. He's got it. Oh, he's got that monk off his back. And sure enough, since that FA Cup game, he's just gone bananas against United. And like you said, I think partly it's because he's been exposing Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire, who are both, you know, I mean, Shaw is just a terrible defender, always has been. And Maguire's obviously been really going through it lately. And I think he's really exposed that. It'll be interesting to see what this game. I'm curious about Salah because obviously Martinez, like you said, I think he's much more suited to dealing with Salah. He's quick, he's aggressive, he's in his face. And I think Malacia is also quick and aggressive in the face. And they're better defenders, they're better players than Shaw and Maguire. So I'm curious to see how Salah deals with that because, I mean, I still think he'll get the better of them because Liverpool, I think, as a whole, will dominate so much more that Salah will have too many chances and eventually they won't be able to hold him. But I think they'll do better against him than Maguire and Shaw did, which I think should be interesting to see. And if for the future Man United Liverpool fixtures, maybe that can bode well for United. For this one, it's too early. It's too early. He's just gonna he'll get his record. He'll break. He could be another hat trick. Honestly, he'll break Shearer's record for sure.
Before we move on to specific predictions on the game, Josh, I just want to ask you about this idea of psychology surrounding this, because a Liverpool winner against Manchester United gets you cult status amongst the Liverpool fans. You go back to Danny Murphy, Steven Gerrard, Fernando Torres, Luis Suarez, players that you associate with winning goals, incredible performances against Dirk Kuyt, against Manchester United. Salah's raised the bar.
Hey.
Yeah. There's too many names to remember. I was doing well to remember Danny Murphy, to be honest. But Salah has raised the bar, even on those players, even against someone like Steven Gerrard's record against Manchester United. Salah's become the ultimate scourge of United in the last few seasons. Do you see it that way? Do you think Liverpool fans see it that way? That for all the status these players have surrounding Liverpool and their performances against United, Salah is just the best?
You know what? It doesn't really feel like that, if I'm honest, from a Liverpool perspective. I wasn't aware that he's on the verge of breaking Shearer's record and things like that. Liverpool have had a few of these players over the years. Gerrard always comes up as one who's traditionally performed well against United in those big games. Danny Murphy is definitely one as well. But Salah, as Mo said, the first couple of games for Salah when he was at Liverpool, it never felt like he shined, at least when it comes to United. It felt like he was kind of in the background a little bit shut out. And maybe it is a bit more of a recent thing that he's kind of exploded, and it's maybe coincided with United's maybe downfall as a team and Liverpool's real rise as a team as well, with Van Dijk finding him with those switches of play and Liverpool getting him behind and things. I mean, you will always get cult status if you start scoring goals against United, and Salah's got that regardless. But when it comes to this specific fixture, it probably is more of a recent thing, and considering that, maybe Salah will go into this game with a bit of confidence, considering his recent record in this fixture.
Right, we're going to wrap it up with predictions. Mo, we're going to go to you first on this. Give us your stat-based prediction for Manchester United against Liverpool on Monday night.
I think Mohamed Salah will score a hat-trick at Old Trafford, and Liverpool will win 4-1. I think Liverpool win 4-1. I think maybe United didn't take the lead, just to be really funny. And everyone will start going, oh, they've finally done it. And then Klopp will get his, probably either in the drinks break, which I'm assuming there'll be a cooling break, or at halftime, Klopp will calm his boys down and say, look, lads, to paraphrase Sir Alex Ferguson, lads, it's Man United. And Liverpool will come out and just unleash the world. And Liverpool are a better team than Man United right now. It's just that simple. Even with all their foibles, even with Thiago and Darwin Nunez out, they're a better team than Man United, plain and simple. Trent Alexander-Arnold and Mohamed Salah are itching to it. Mohamed Salah has 7 goals in his last 4 games against Man United in all competitions. He's ridiculous. They'll keep him out for a while. Maybe Lisandro and Malacia will even push him centrally. But then once he starts making those central runs, again, as Josh says, you know, on the break, When United push up, press high, he's going to nip in behind. If De Gea doesn't come off his line, it's over. It's game over. Mohamed Salah's going to get a hat-trick. Liverpool are going to win 4-1.
Josh, I know you're tentative to go too positive on Liverpool, but the facts are there in terms of recent results against Manchester United. Liverpool are struggling to hit their own heights so far this season, but Manchester United are in a downward spiral. This is as bad as it's ever been for them as a Premier League side. Give us your call for how it's going to go on Monday night.
It's a difficult one, this, because you're not sure who's going to play as well. So, you know, if Gomez features, though, and if Firmino features, they both seem to be okay. And especially if Liverpool score like an early goal like they did last season, things can just kind of spiral very, very quickly. So I'm going to say 3-0. I think for large periods, United will struggle to even escape their own half, to be honest, especially if they really persist, if they're really wedded to that building from the back, using Lisandro setting the ball to De Gea and trying to work their way through the third of the pitch with the ball on the floor. That will be really difficult to do against Liverpool, and I think Liverpool's high line will not really be particularly threatened by Cristiano Ronaldo and Jadon Sancho, potentially Rashford. Rashford's a bit of a problem in behind Trent. He's generally had a bit of joy against Trent in the past couple of seasons. Not so much last year, but unless if United struggle to use Rashford on the break and things and in behind, I just see large periods where Liverpool just keep the ball in United's half and dominate, basically. And, you know, we've touched on the dynamics of Salah up on that side and his confidence lately and how he's just suited to this game, specifically against what Ten Hag's trying to do. I think it could be a bit of a bad one for United, but I don't know. I said the same before Palace, thinking that Liverpool were going to put the wrong right from the first game, but, you know, it didn't really happen. So I suppose you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's football. You never know. But I do think the way you describe the first half is exactly how I think the first half is going to happen. And that's actually how I think United will probably score, is I think they'll get one pass right. Lisandro to either Eriksen or Fernandes, and then just bing, round the corner first time, probably Eriksen. Into Rashford behind the high line, and that's probably where they'll get their goal from, whether Rashford scores it or squares it to Sancho or whoever. I think that's where they'll get their goal from, and I think that's a viable avenue of success for United, but it's like the percentages are tiny, right? You need to get the right pass out from Martinez, the right pass into, obviously, Eriksen or Fernandes, and then they need to hit the right first-time ball, and it really is going to have to be a first-time ball because it's going to be, what, Milner, Henderson, and Fabinho in midfield. That's a heavy press in midfield, right? That's a really... Those guys are on you. You don't have much more time, you know. Either you need a sick dribble like Eze or you need to hit it first time. So I think that's where United will get their goal. But then I think Liverpool will just, like you said, they'll remember who they are, essentially, rear up to their full height and just absolutely blow United away. They're a better team than United, unquestionably so. And I think, you know, if De Gea was good with his feet, maybe you could argue that United could work their way around this, but he's just not, and he's not in good form. Like, he'd have to pull out one of those miraculous performances where he just saves everything. Like, remember Oblak at Anfield in the Champions League? He'd have to be like that, just flying all over his guy. No, I mean, look, and he's got that in him. Don't get me wrong. But also, Liverpool can just cross it, frankly. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, if there's one thing that you don't want against this Liverpool team, it's laying in the ropes when it comes to building from the back, basically. You know, that's what Klopp's whole career has been based upon, essentially. You know, that counter-pressing, are you going to try and build from the back? And Liverpool have traditionally done really, really well against these relatively average teams who are committed to a possession-based free-flow and style of play, like Leicester and teams like that. Liverpool have just dominated those teams. And yeah, I mean, we're United still learning the ropes with that and having a goalkeeper who's just not comfortable at all. And the alternative is going long when you've got someone like Van Dijk heading those long balls. I'm not really sure. I just don't know how United escape the half. But every now and then, though, Liverpool do give away these sporadic 1v1s. And if United get one of those and it falls to Ronaldo, maybe it probably gets put away, but it's a difficult one.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go a bit closer to Josh's prediction. I'm going to go for 2-0, basing that on the back end of last season, or rather midway through last season, when Liverpool did have a bit of a sticky spell at the start of 2022, and they didn't batter anybody to get themselves out of it. A 3-0 win against Brentford in mid-January to break that run of results in the League Cup and the Premier League. But I do think one thing is absolutely certain. Liverpool will score. They've only failed to score at Old Trafford in the Premier League once since Jurgen Klopp has come to the club. So I don't want to mirror Josh exactly. So I'm going to go for 2-0. Salah to at least score once. But I think Shearer's going to hold on to his record just for now against Manchester United. But Mohamed Salah will break it between now and the end of the season. That's my prediction for this one. We're going to wrap it up, guys, for the Manchester United-Liverpool prediction. We'll be back next week talking about the transfer window. Who are Manchester United going to be signing? Who are the other Premier League big hitters going to be bringing in before the end of the transfer window? But for now, Mo, Josh, thank you for your time.
Cheers, mate.
Pleasure.
Great stuff, guys. Indeed, as always, you know the score by now. Hit subscribe and you can get access to our brand new episode every single week. Next week, it is the transfer window and maybe, just maybe, Ronaldo's interview. Don't forget to check that out and we'll catch you next week.